the CIA is in a personnel crisis right now. They're not able to do it. They have lost so many staff, and they have such high turnover, they're not able to pull this back into house. That's going to be the big challenge facing the next 5 to 7 years, and it's not clear if they're going to be able to do it. Once the outsourcing started, and it started for good reasons, actually, as a quick response to 9/11, but once people, they found that people could be paid up to twice the amount in the private sector as they were making, working for the U.S. government, there was a big spy drain, and the most competent people really left the agency, except some people right before retirement, very good people, stayed on. And all the middle level and the entry level have been decimated. Over half of the U.S. government employees of the CIA right now have less than 5 years' experience. And within
so what you're
group,
saying is that because we pay these mercenaries twice as much or three times as much as we pay a CIA agent, or in the military context, we pay Blackwater two or three times what we pay a soldier on the ground, that Americans are saying, why should I work for the CIA when I can work for Blackwater and make two or three times the same money and do the same job?
Yeah, different companies involved, but more or less that's part of the problem. And also because of some of the personnel problems within the agency, having to follow overall civil service, or not civil service, follow U.S. government personnel policies, have led some great frustrations, too, and they're not being the adequate compensation and promotion. So one can look at it. They're not getting paid market rate within the government, so people look at it like, why should I go work for them and have some of these bureaucratic hoops and office politics to deal with that you're protected from within the private corporations?
So wouldn't the answer be, in the case of the CIA, for example, to up the salaries for agents and to decrease the payments to the mercenaries so that we pay the mercenary exactly the same that we pay a CIA agent, and that would stop the drain and get more people into the accountable portion of our government and less into the unaccountable private sector? Is that fair?
Well, it's a lot more complex than that because we're at war right now and we're at war on multiple fronts. So the need is there, and things can't get disrupted at that level. If you start cutting salaries, cutting people out of the private sector, and they follow, they have the various payment schedules, GS schedules, as to what people would be paid at various levels and when promotions and promotion reviews occur. So there's not that flexibility to be able to reward people market salaries, at least within current personnel policies.
I want to take a break.
They did attempt to put a ceiling on the amount that people could earn. I think it's $130,000, $135,000 now in the private sector.
I want to turn the show over to our callers. First, we're going to take a break and give folks a chance to call in. This is a once-in-a-lifetime guest, folks, so please take advantage of her. The toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. You'll be right back with R.J. Hillhouse, the author of Outsourced, right after this.
Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6 foot 7 inch Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business. Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is R.J. Hillhouse. She is the author of Outsourced. It is a fictional novel that talks about the war on terror and the various mercenaries we've hired to fight it, although she writes that there are many things she can say in fiction that she can't talk about publicly. She also writes in her materials that CIA and Pentagon contacts both warned her about the dangers of writing this book. They are worried about her safety. That the warnings came both when she started the book and after they'd read it. And there are those inside and outside of the government, she writes, who would like to keep certain activities very quiet. She also writes she's been dealing with some rough crowds while researching the books, particularly the mercenaries. She's been threatened. So this is quite a guest for you. Let's go to Sarge in Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, hello, Mark. It's not quite Mississippi anymore. It's Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay. Sarge has moved to Arizona. Fair enough. Go ahead, Sarge. What's your question for my guest?
Yeah, I am very aware of the different aspects of Blackwater USA and, well, Blackwater period. The money that they must be making must be extraordinary. I know in just the New Orleans and Mississippi Gulf Coast, they turn up all over the place there doing security. What would you advise citizens to do to keep these people out of the areas?
RJ?
In the case of New Orleans, I think it was because, part of the disaster response, and that has to do with the government, the state governments allowing that to occur. And I believe they entered into an agreement in California for possible disaster response. So if one doesn't want them to be involved and to try to maintain order in whatever fashion it is, that would have to be worked out with lobbying the state government to prevent it from occurring.
So someplace like Mississippi, forget it, where the powers that be are just going to make money off of it no matter what.
Right, so I'm not sure that much could be done in that case. And how lucrative the golf course contract, I think those are probably more lucrative than some of what's going on in Iraq. It varies, of course, contract to contract.
Well,
RJ, who decides?
It's pretty messy down there. Mark,
RJ, who decides?
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Sarge, for your call. RJ, who decides who gets the contract, how much the contract is worth? I mean, if Congress isn't doing oversight, are these bureaucrats in the Pentagon or in the CIA that are making these decisions, or does it go up higher?
You know, That's a really interesting comment, particularly in light of the news this week that the Pentagon is going to be, the Defense Intelligence Agency, is going to be outsourcing over $1 billion of intelligence services, including the collection and analysis and all the things that we've been talking about. And they said they expect to give this $1 billion award to five or more contractors. Well, that means that they're going to run it in the way that they generally do these giant contracts, which is called an IDIQ, an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, which means that they put to meet the letter of the law of the federal acquisitions or the federal administrative regulations, they put it out for bid that they want these very broad services done over some time over the next five-year period, and they are looking for places to do it, and they award to the big players, as I said, the big guys, to Booz Allen Hamilton, to Raytheon, to Lockheed, to Cytor, and their SAIC, and they, each of these companies, and the small guys involved, have to line up behind one of the big prime contractors in order to have a shot at any of the work.
So now, these contractors, I assume, they give a lot of money in lobbying to these same politicians.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they give it to politicians, and they're in there lobbying everywhere that is possible to lobby within legal limits, or at least we hope within legal limits.
So
what
let me ask you this.
They award things to the big guys, and the small guys have to be lined up behind them. But the really interesting thing is these proposals do not have the specific services that they want people to work on, specific projects. But once the awards are made, all these companies flock to their contacts within, and soon be Defense Intelligence or in other similar case, CIA or others, with proposals of what it is that the agency really needed to have, and how their company can meet those needs, and how easy it is to contract it through these newly available funds. So in many ways, we get the tail wagging the dog. The companies are telling the Pentagon, the companies are telling the CIA, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, what their intelligence needs are and how they can meet them.
So the companies
because
say, hey, we need billions
now,
of dollars. America needs
this kind
of intelligence. Hand over the money.
Right. Look, we've got this really neat product. We know you got a problem with are your agents that you're running on the ground in, let's say in Iran, are they reliable or not? You know, are you talking to, do you have some, you know, it's hard to keep track from all these guys. We can help use our pattern analysis here to be able to see and keep you from going to the wrong people that we already have some flags on or other things. And look, you can get this solved for only whatever, $10 million, or it appears to be.
But
here's the
technical,
more or less sign here.
I would think spying, though, is as much of an art or even more of an art than a science. I mean, you know, to say whether someone's telling the truth or not, I mean, I realize that there's things like lie detectors, and I'm not even sure these truth serums work. But at the end of the day, a company is saying, we can analyze the chess pieces better than you can and therefore tell who's telling the truth. But I don't know that they can, right? I mean, this is, I don't know that there's no magic.
Right, you're looking for patterns as to who is known for contact with whom, you know, who that person's been associated with. You're looking for the history of the person, the history of, you know, how well their intel has worked, or and various things like that. So, you know, you're looking at a lot of different factors, and you're trying to collate that. That's just for this example. And so then they take it to their contracting officer, technical rep, and they say, look, here's what you need. Isn't this cool? You can use this in your branch. We can make you look really good. And this helps meet your need, contract for it. And so so the companies are really in many ways starting to call the shots in the CIA. We're already seeing that go on in the Pentagon. It's what goes on with the Air Force, you know, and the big contractors saying, here's the weapon system you need. Look, we've got all the specs here. This is the coolest thing, and it'll solve all your needs. And
kind of
that's the type
hard
of
to know.
That's going on.
It's kind of hard to know who's in charge sometimes. Malin from New Jersey, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I was just a little concerned with the it seems though they have something which is political immunity or something thereof. Is that correct?
Great question. Is there immunity for these contractors if they were to, you know, not follow orders? I know, for example, the four guys from Blackwater, I think it was Blackwater, that went to Fallujah and started a whole, you know, new battle in the war of Iraq. Is there immunity if these guys spy on the wrong people, or, you know, breach national security, or, you know, go and do things that they're not ordered to do? Are they protected, or can someone sue them?
That's an excellent question, because we haven't seen those things. We're just starting to see some of it litigated. I mean, for example, the involvement of Jepson, a subsidiary of Boeing, in the rendition flight, taking detainees, prisoners to the black sites. The ACLU has filed a lawsuit and had various people who were taken to the black sites, various detainees, join that lawsuit, claiming that the private corporations are liable. And so it's going to be interesting to watch that work its way through the courts. My guess is they'll use the CIA Act of 47, which basically gives the director of the CIA, and now it's director of national intelligence, the authority to override just about any laws in order to keep national security, to keep the country safe.
So even though they work for private corporations,
they'll use that as a trump.
Even though they work for private corporations, they'll claim government immunity because of who's hiring.
Since they're doing it on behalf of the government, I mean, I think that's the reason Blackwater is pretty clearly is litigating the suit against the four family members, because they have a history of being a little bit more sympathetic to the families and treating them a little bit better. But they don't want to be held accountable as part for everything they do, because they're working in a theater of war.
Madeline, you have another question.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I had seen several programs on television which had to do with times of emergency, which the government is preparing for, and for martial law there, if the government were to instruct martial law, or in whatever you call it, state martial law in the country, state police would work hand in hand. And in fact, I seem to get the impression that the Blackwater police were working with the local police, but not really telling them exactly who they were, but they worked with a higher state authority than, say, just, you know, other state police.
I will ask that question to RJ, and I want to thank you very much for your call, Malin. Two very good questions. RJ, what about a preparation for martial law? I mean, is there any idea that these private corporations are working with our government for emergency circumstances where they might have to do something like that?
I believe there's, as I said, I believe that Schwarzenegger, Governor of California, has an agreement with the company Blackwater to come in an emergency situation, such as national disaster, say if the big one hit San Francisco, and help provide security and law and order, which we saw, you know, it did get out of hand in New Orleans. And the response, of course, the response was very ad hoc, including, you know, Blackwater sending its people down there. There was clearly not the command and control that everyone would like to see in place. And hopefully they're putting that in place in California, and citizens need to watch and make sure that that's occurring, so that it is the government official that's calling the shots in the end.
Again, thank you, Maylin, for two very, very good questions. Let me go to Eric in Vermont. Eric, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi, welcome.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. I got a terrific guest here. What's your question for?
Yes, you do. I'm absolutely just dumbfounded. Miss Hillhouse, am I correct, ma'am?
Yes, it's Dr. Hillhouse. But
Dr. Hillhouse, I apologize. You're very interesting. You have seemed to have an awful lot of background. I have some dental problems. I'm going through dental stuff. I don't talk good. That's the way it is. I have a lot of questions regarding a lot of the domestic types of activities that may or may not be going on. You may or may not be aware of Rex 84 and some of the concentration camps that purportedly have been built around this country. And I was wondering if you had any sort of insight as to some of the staffing of those, or anything related to that, and then I'll get off and let your wisdom and your knowledge and background speak for itself. Thank you.
Thank you
much.
For your call, Eric. Thank you.
Great person.
Thank you, Eric.
Dr. Hillhouse or RJ, any secret prisons in the United States? We know of some that are in Eastern Europe and abroad.
There are no secret prisons that I'm aware of in the United States, and that would kind of defeat the purpose of having secret prisons, because the whole idea is you have it out of U.S. Court jurisdiction. That's
so the whole purpose of them is so that
setting foot on U.S. soil. So it wouldn't make that much sense to have one domestically, because then the courts and the, you know, the multiple layers of government would try to get involved. So I would be quite shocked if there were such.
OK, Okay. We're going to take another break. But when we come back, I've got a question for you, and that is, how do we ever know whether the private contractors are choosing the right people? I mean, to work for the government, to work for the CIA, even to work, as I did, for the House of Representatives, they put you through a background check. How do we know that there aren't spies within these contracting organizations? That'll be my question when we come back. Folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number, 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claud, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just pop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Final segment I have with Dr. R.J. Hillhouse. She is the author of Outsource. It is a novel about the mercenaries that work in the war on terror. And obviously, it is, although it is fiction, it is based on exactly what is going on in Iraq and in the war on terror. R.J., I wanted to ask you about how we know whether or not these people hired by the corporations are themselves trustworthy.
One is, many of those people are the people who used to work for the CIA and for these very same government agencies that are now in the private corporations, and they all go the same type of background, regular background checks. But the interesting thing is, of course, the background checks that are also what's going on throughout the government are based on rooting out foreign agents and agents of terrorist organizations, but they're not set up to look for people who are working or basically just being crooks or working in their own self-interest or corporate interest. That no one is looking at that possibility.
I was thinking of Aldrich Ames. Wasn't he trying just to make money off of selling
right.
secrets?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the fear. People who are just have their hands in the government's pockets and might indeed become spies for the other side, not because they believe in Islamic fundamentalism, but because they can cash in from Islamic fundamentalism.
Yeah, and one big concern I have is what happens on down in their luck spies when one company loses a contract to another company. It's like a giant game of musical chairs, and there are never enough chairs as when the music started, and someone's always left standing or unemployed. And what do these unemployed spies do? I mean, their services are for hire, and of course they could be for hire by foreign interests or interests of terrorist organizations, and that issue needs to be looked at rather seriously.
People in the chat room, we have a chat room here at the Head On Radio Network, are asking a little bit more about the secret camps. While you say there aren't any in the United States, you don't deny that there are a number of secret camps that are abroad, do you?
I think we're talking about the black sites, the
right.
CIA prisons that Bush claimed were emptied out. Last September. It's my personal belief that they do still exist, and that's what I'm much more comfortable in discussing in fiction. And if they would still exist, how I would posit the way to have them continuing existing and get around the Hamadi versus Rumsfeld Supreme Court case, which might refresh people's memory. Last year, the Supreme Court found that the constitutional guarantees of habeas corpus and others had to be extended to detainees, even if they were held by the CIA, even if that were abroad in other jurisdictions. So the way to solve that, and the way I write about it in Outsourced, is by simply privatizing the prisons, because then it's not the government that's holding the detainees. So, and the corporations, of course, don't have the same requirements to extend constitutional guarantees to detainees.
So even if it is illegal under the Supreme Court decision for the U.S. military to hold Mr. X in a secret prison in Romania, it may be legal for the U.S. government to hire Blackwater to hold Mr. X in a secret prison in Romania.
I've never heard Blackwater implicated.
I'm just trying to get an example.
Corporation X to provide site security for the black sites, or Corporation Y to provide facilities management for the black sites, would in theory be one way to work around the Constitution if one wanted to keep these open, or
wow.
at least to attempt to work around the Constitution.
I've got Bob from Massachusetts on the line. Bob, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark, and hi to your guest, Ajay.
Hi.
I have a question. My question has to do with Blackwater. After viewing the movie, what do you call it, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful mm-hmm. Mercenary Army, there was a little bit of information in there about how the founder of Blackwater, Eric Prince, is a Christian fundamentalist who happens mm-hmm. to have married into the Amway family with Dick DeVos. He married Dick DeVos's sister. What I'm wondering, what my question has to do with, is how far has the Christian right, the fundamentalist, infiltrated our security services, and what kind of effect could that have in the future when our security services will be basically doing their bidding?
That's a great question, Bob. Dr. Hillhouse?
You know, I really don't think that it has at all. And I think the religion or the faith of Mr. Prince has been manipulated for political gains here. He is a devout Roman Catholic. I mean, I've talked to people about him who've known him and interacted with him. And I know that some have said that in the management of Blackwater, that it's, you know, some kind of a fundamentalist or crusader Christian organization, and I don't think it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I know known several people who've worked there, et cetera, and that is not the corporate culture by any means.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I forgot the name of the general. You may remember, RJ, the general that talked about a crusade.
Boykin.
Yes, Boykin, of course. I'm sorry, that's exactly the person I was thinking of. I wonder to what extent there are people that join up in the war on terror, not necessarily to be a patriotic Americans defending our country, but because they have some idea of religious hegemony and they want to promote that. Do you see that going on?
Or is Boykin really the exception rather than the rule? He was a class to himself. I think those who have known him would agree. He was also quite competent in many ways, and that's how he was able to rise to the level that he did in serving his country.
So he's the exception rather than the rule.
I think that really is more the exception. That I mean, mean, if there were, and there's nothing that gives me the willies faster than the Christian right, if they seem to have infiltrated this, I would be one of the first people screaming about it, but I haven't seen any sign of it. And I think in the case of Blackwater, I think it's been grossly exaggerated.
Okay, fair enough. Another thing that people are writing about in the chat room here is a program called Rex 84. I've never heard of it. I don't know what you know about it.
I don't know anything about it. Sorry to disappoint.
Okay. Fair enough. I hadn't heard of it either, but a number of people writing in. Folks, there's only a few minutes left, but if you have information on it and you want to call in, please do so. So one of the things you write in your materials is that up to 75% of our personnel working abroad in places like Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan, are not CIA, but indeed hired by the CIA. How do we monitor their loyalty? I mean, how do we know who these people are working for? Obviously, they say they're working for us, but how can we know if they're not indeed working for a foreign government as well?
Well, they wouldn't get any follow-on contracts, that's for sure. People would be jailed.
Well, I mean secretly. Obviously,
they're
mean openly.
Generally, the people who go into this are patriotic, loyal Americans. The majority of people, I don't think there's any worry. I think it's the same worries that we would have that, you know, as I said, the unemployed people, the corporate conflict of interest. I think that is a much larger concern than people working for the enemy. I think that would not be as big of an issue.
Okay, so the real concern then is corruption. The real concern is not so much working for the enemy, but corruption. People who are claiming that we need all these military things that we don't need and taking billions of dollars of taxpayer money because that's their loyalty to their corporation rather than to the government.
Right. I think the real issues that we need to guard against are corruption, are these conflicts of interest, of the potential manipulation of U.S. foreign policy through manipulation of the president's daily brief and others. And that's the type of thing that I've written about in Outsource.
Dr. Hillhouse, I want to thank you very much for coming here on the program. You've got about a minute left. Is there anything else that I haven't covered that you want to make sure my listeners know about?
I think that the best place I could steer your listeners is, I said, to take a look at Outsource in order to think about how and see how we're actually fighting the war on terror. It's a very real spy novel, and I've heard that back from people in the Pentagon as well as from CIA. People have been shocked as to how different it was and how realistic. And at the same time, I would suggest people to go to my website, thespywhobilledme.com.
thespywhobilledme.com.
Where I regularly cover these topics.
Terrific. And you can, by the way, folks, there's a link to the Amazon site where you can buy Outsourced from my website at radioinsidescoop.com. Thank you very much for your insight and for coming here on the show, Dr. Hillhouse. And tune in next week for more of the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. On its website, the New York Times says U.S. intelligence agencies will issue a report today criticizing Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The Times says there is concern the Prime Minister is incapable of finding a solution to his country's increasing sectarian violence. Al-Qaeda attacked two Sunni villages this morning east of Baquba, killing at least 32 and wounding another 22. Sunnis fought back, killing 10 of the invaders. During their retreat, Al-Qaeda militants kidnapped 15 women and children. Yesterday, an attack on a U.S. military outpost in northern Iraq killed 4 Iraqi soldiers and wounded 11 U.S. troops. In addition, 1 U.S. soldier was killed and 3 others wounded during combat west of Baghdad. In southern Afghanistan, 2 Canadian soldiers and an Afghan interpreter were killed today near Kandahar. Another Canadian soldier and 2 foreign reporters were wounded in the same incident. Hurricane Dean, now a tropical depression, is expected today to dissipate over the central mountains of Mexico. Authorities say a major concern now is the heavy rains drenching the region, swelling rivers and undercutting landslide-prone hillsides. Ohio's governor has declared a state of emergency as residents flee rain-swollen floods. At least 40 people have died in the past week throughout the Midwest. Firefighters say cooler temperatures and lessening winds are providing some relief for those battling wildfires in Montana, Idaho, and California. Hundreds of thousands of acres have been scorched. Some fires have been burning for as long as 2 months. New Jersey's Attorney General has ordered law enforcement officers to notify federal immigration authorities whenever a lawbreaker is determined to be an illegal immigrant. In Blacksburg, Virginia, an advisory panel investigating the Virginia Tech massacre says in the future, authorities should identify and monitor students seen as disturbed. The group also recommends increased campus security. In Utah, the owner of the Crandall Canyon coal mine says rescue efforts will continue throughout the weekend, even though there is little hope of finding the six men trapped by a cave-in 2 weeks ago. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Hey, what's he doing?
What?
That guy is changing his oil in the street and letting it run right in the storm drain, which pollutes the bay. I totally wouldn't surf in that.
Dude, what can we do?
Call 1-800-CLEANUP to report anyone dumping oil, antifreeze, or paint in the street.
This way, fools like that can be fined.
Tell everyone to call 1-800-CLEANUP.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Geologists in Australia have discovered diamonds thought to be more than 4 billion years old. Scientists say the gem's existence indicates the Earth may have cooled more rapidly than originally thought. A consortium of 2 Canadian provinces and 6 western states announced they've signed a regional agreement promising to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 15% within the next 13 years. Hormel Foods announced its quarterly profits fell 4% over this time last year, citing poor sales in some of its products like Chunk Chicken. Sales topped $1.5 billion. Personal information for more than 1.5 million users of jobsite Monster.com has been stolen by hackers. The thieves used a Trojan horse virus to steal the data from the site's computer servers. Lehman Brothers says it intends to close down one of its home lending units and lay off 1,200 employees. The Wall Street firm confirmed the move would result in a $52 million quarterly charge. Financial Times reports a large Western oil company, probably Shell, has offered to pay $700 million for Iraqi oil assets in Kurdish territory. The newspaper says the proposal indicates oil companies are willing to invest in the region despite severe security difficulties. Light sweet crude at $69.62 a barrel. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn conversation radio into conservation radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Well, all right. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here, everybody. It's another wondrous day of programming here at the Head On Radio Network. It's been a nutty week over here, I got to tell you. And a little bit of a programming note. I know this is like the first time I've done a full week's programming in ages. But guess what? I'm going on vacation next week. And it's actually the first holiday I've been on in probably 5 years. So Gail and I are heading off to the South Coast for a little while. I'm going to go stay down off the rainforest down in Mogo, New South Wales, which is an old gold mining town, actually. So it should be kind of cool. I'm looking really, really forward to it. So not exactly. I think we'll just be having the regular day's rerun programming going in my spot next week because, well, I haven't been doing that many shows as of late, but that's all changing. But anyway, we're going to do this. I'm looking really forward to it. It's going to be nice to get the hell out of Sydney for a little while, and that's that. Enough with the programming note. Anyway. I swear, you really, really got to worry about this time that we live in and those that are supposedly claiming or to protect us. From crikey.com.au and my wonderful little subscriber news dump that I get every day, this is amazing. About 2 days ago, I've been mentioning this whole Dr. Hanif thing, this guy who was completely stitched up by the Australian Federal Police as supposedly giving material support to Roddy Rah to the failed Glasgow bombing, and it ended up being just a complete stitch-up. And the Australian Federal Police kept leaking bits of transcripts of his federal police interviews, and they were all really out of context things that really were just absolutely smearing this doctor's reputation. So for the second time in this saga, Mr. Hanif's lawyers have released the entire transcript. Now, there's a few things that are very worrisome. First of all, people in the Australian media who have been going through the 300-plus pages of the transcript are saying that this thing just completely backs up Hanif's side of the story, that he had nothing to do with it. In fact, because he was going back to India to visit his newly born child, this is the whole reason that he was flying back to India when they picked him up. He just had a baby born. His wife still lives in India. And he even expected that there would be some questions about his cousin coming back to him. So he even contacted authorities, giving them all of his contact details and where he'd be in India while he was away, because he felt he had some concerns, shall we say. And these transcripts are giving some of us some serious concerns about just, you know, when you go to an amusement park and there's that, you know, sign that says you must be at least so high to take this ride. or when it's a kiddie ride, if you're too tall, you can't have this ride. Well, I think that there must be a sign going into the Australian Federal Police Academy that says if your IQ is above this point, you can't be an Australian federal policeman. Get this. Now, first of all, whoever wrote these transcripts, geez, they're horrible. They're really hard to read. Now, I know that when you're transcribing something that was conversational, there can be stutters and things like that. It's not, you know, it's not always eloquent, but some of this is just absolutely awful. I don't see people even speaking like this. However, from Crikey, they say, start wading through the 300-plus pages of the Hanif transcript released yesterday, and you'll soon be worried, not necessarily about terrorism, but about the ability of the flatfoot feds to protect us. The AFP seems to be coming to grips with the intertubes, but yes, you can talk online. Okay, get this. Now, the Dr. Hanif's cousin was the Mohammed guy involved in Glasgow. And so you have Detective Sims asking, now, does Mohammed have a mobile telephone? Hanif, no. Sims, he doesn't? How do you contact Mohammed? Hanif, normally I call him on this phone. On this phone? Says Sims. Or sometimes we chat on Yahoo, says Hanif. You chat on Yahoo? Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you... Does he have an email address, or how does that work with chat on Yahoo? How does that work with chat on Yahoo? These are the people that are supposedly, you know, doing high-tech surveillance on people in the war on terror? It gets better. Crikey continues and says, and yes, there's this thing called Skype. You've heard of the telephone, right? Well, it's sort of like Mr. Alexander Graham Bell's device, but you use your computer. Back to the transcript. Hanif, yeah, and Sim says, yeah, okay, does Muhammad have any other contact usernames or emails? Hanif, I don't know. Sims, you do know, you haven't used any others to contact him with. Hanif, no, sometimes we use Skype. Sims, mm-hmm. How does that work? Hanif, that's just an internet calling. Sims, okay, I'm unfamiliar with that, that's all. What do you need for that? Hanif, you have to register and get a login ID. Sims, you've contacted Mohammed through Skype, have you? Yes, I have. And what does he need on the other end to be able to talk to you? He needs to have a Skype ID as well. Hanif, okay, so you register through Skype. Do you know his... Sorry, this is the detective. See, they can't even get the... They can't even write this thing right. Do you know his registration details through... What his registration details through Skype are? Hanif, I don't remember exactly. I just write his name. I don't remember his exact details. Sims, okay, do you keep a contact list of people that you... Yeah, all of the friends and things are just there on the system. Sims, okay, we'll go back to that. Now, what about your Skype? Yeah, says Hanif. Sims, is there a particular... Sorry, I just don't know how it works. I don't know. Can you tell me what is your registration details for Skype? And it goes on... Where they ask him about him requesting vegetarian dishes, and he says, "Well, yes, I have." And he says, "Has that been the sergeant asks? Has that been facilitated?" And Hanif says, "They did organize for halal meals for me. Halal meals, okay, yep, that's okay. They've given that to you every day, so they don't even know the difference between halal and vegetarian." This is insanity. This is the Australian Federal Police. They don't know you can chat on Yahoo, and they don't know what the hell Skype is. And we're supposed to have confidence in these people? We're supposed to take their word for it? They're insane. They are absolutely insane. And it is just absolutely pathetic. Oh. You know, what are they using all this money for, aside from buying $600,000 friggin' water cannons to use on protesters at APEC? I haven't had a chance. I have the complete transcripts. I've downloaded them. I haven't had a chance to go through them yet, and I don't know if I want to. I think I'm just going to end up throwing things. And the Australian Federal Police have threatened Hanif's lawyers with action through the Queensland Legal Council, whatever. They're not going to go after him. The legal counsel's been the same body has been the ones that have been going, the government's just completely overstepping its bounds here. They have no case. The case against this man has been dismissed. The original criminal case on this has been dismissed. And they're still trying to claim that this man is a threat. You know, it's just absolute bully stuff. Also from Crikey here, Greg Barnes, who says bully boy stuff from the AFP. At first I thought it was someone taking the mickey out of the Australian Federal Police, but no, it's for real, believe it or not. The AFP actually issued a media release yesterday, you can read it in full below, in which they claim that there has been no leaking by them in the Hanif case. And for good measure, the AFP thinks what Dr. Hanif's legal team did yesterday in releasing the second record of interview was unethical. The AFP claims in seriousness that its own... Note, there has been no independent external investigation. Inquiries have led it to the view that there has been no unlawful disclosure of information by AFP members. Oh, really? So it has been leaking information about the Hanif investigation with a clear view of smearing Dr. Hanif over the past month. If not the investigators, then who? It's certainly not Dr. Hanif's lawyers. And speaking of Dr. Hanif's lawyers, how's this for bully boy stuff from the AFP? The continuing attempts by Dr. Hanif's defense team to use the media to run their case is both unprofessional and inappropriate, and the AFP has raised the aspect with the Queensland Legal Services Commission. Dr. Hanif's lawyers have acted ethically and responsibly throughout this matter, unlike the political masters of the AFP, like Mr. Ruddock and Mr. Andrews. And since when has it been unethical or unprofessional or inappropriate to give the media a copy of your client's record of interview? In fact, if the AFP was serious about ethics and professionalism, why doesn't it pick on Mr. Ruddock and Mr. Andrews, who have done nothing except smear Dr. Hanif ever since he was arrested? It's interesting to note that no senior AFP officer put his or her name to yesterday's media release, and there is no media contact name at the end of the release, just as well given its bizarre and inaccurate content. Absolutely, absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And this poor man, you know, I just... what this guy's been through, why he'd want to come back here, but he's determined, and I think it's probably purely just to prove and make an ass out of the AFP and the Howard government. You know, I just, if it was me, if I were you, if I was you, I'd do this. I'd fight the case from overseas. But I think, I get the impression that this guy actually cared enough about the job that he was doing. And probably the life that he had here, that he wants to come back and continue it. And, I don't know, that to me just shows a great amount of class. from there, I'm going to go and tell you a really fun story. Has to do with today's track of the day. You've heard this a couple times in the last week or so. This bit of music, organ, big drums, double bass thing that from a band called the Shuffle Kings that I've told you about. This band that can pull out 3,500 songs from 1902 to 2007 at any moment. And I used to do sounds for these guys, and it was a great fun gig. It was easy, and these guys are all awesome players. Now, the track I'm going to play is a song that they used to do. They used to just walk right off the front of the stage and come down to the dance floor in whatever, you know, RSL club or whatever we were in, and do a bit of direct acoustic stuff. So it would be Paul on double bass, singing through a megaphone, harmonica, snare drum and brushes, accordion, and then acoustic guitar. And in this moment, I would get away from the mixing board, and I would go and grab one of the acoustics and join them on the dance floor and do this little segment. And the guy who did sound before me was also a guitar player, so he'd come out, you know, same thing. It was just kind of a tradition, so he'd come out and play. And now this is from their home studio recording of this track, so there's a little bit more involved, but still, you have this sound of the vocalist, who's also the double bass player, singing through what sounds like a megaphone, but that's exactly how we did it. He had a megaphone gaff taped to a microphone stand with the trigger locked on, and he sang straight through the megaphone. And the place would just go absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. And it was great fun, you know. Obviously, it was my favorite part of the night. No PA, no nothing, just organic noise. And bringing the whole audience. I mean, they pack these places, and they're still playing. I really should get Paul over here one night. And you just get this mad circle of people around you, and they'd be dancing, and you'd always wait until people were, you know, super drunk, which, you know, is fairly common down here in Australia. You know, beer drinking is a national pastime. But this is just a classic. Classic song. It's been covered so many times. One of my favorite covers of it is Paul McCartney. Did a brilliant version. But the Shuffle Kings, I reckon, are just a great band, a band that you will never see. However, you can order the CD online, and I believe it's just theshuffle.com.au. And they really, really are great, and one of the best stand-up bass players I've ever known. He's a monster. So without further ado, with Red Dress, the Shuffle Kings, roll it, Bob.